23D, and we're just getting started. New engine, same hunger. From the sticks to the sticks, we built this. It's not just a game, it's a generation. Pathways that goes from foundation. Since 04, the war's been waged through every console, curse and change. Lights come up, the future blinks. Old blood watches as the great things. Walk through that door, it's about fate. It's the fire we bring in the NDL. You learn everything. This is awesome. How long you played? So not open hard, no fear, no. Come on, Sam. You built for this. Big Mike carved his crown in stone, still winning long after his prime was known. Shell's name stitched in undefeated knights, so guard no fate. They fight. Jiggy stormed in and lit the match. Back to back, go never looking back. Buck Nuts, the rival who took his flame. Now they trade blows in a title game. And Smitty, he's the least sharpest thorn. Lie with no race, but we're never ignored. We don't rebuild, we reload. 33 stacked, and no one knows who takes the next throne. Who goes the show? You built for this.
Going on, everybody. This is your boy Lick. I'm here with Penguin, Pat, and Smitty. The game day crew coming live here on season 33, block two. It's been a long break. We've had over a month since game day's been active for the NDL. How is everybody doing today? How are you, Penguin? How you been? What have you been up to? Penguin? All I hear is Smitty just typing away. Testing. Apparently they can't hear me. Can you guys hear me? Earth, the Pat and Penguin. Or Smitty or anyone. Some technical difficulties. Oh God, now Smitty changed his camera. Best thing. We got some technical difficulties on game day this morning. Yeah, we got to fire the production manager. Hey, at least you guys can hear me. That's what really matters. Could you see the cameras? There we go. We got Pat back. Yeah, they saw the cameras. Everything's working. Can you guys hear us? Man, crazy. I don't know what... Can you... Yeah, so they can't hear me is what's happening right now. We were in a chat for like 45 minutes and could hear each other, and now all of a sudden we can't. So, Penguin, can you hear me?
Can't hear anything.
We can hear you now, Penguin.
I can hear you.
I can hear you, Smitty. I can't hear Tim.
I can't hear Tim.
Tim, it shows you muted on my screen.
Yeah, weird.
I've got an up right-hand corner muted icon, and now
nobody can hear me.
I see no Pat either.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
All right. Game day's next weekend. Let's restart it.
No.
Say, man. This is wild.
Testing. Hey, I'm gonna back out and get back in here. Can you guys hear me now? Promise we're going to be back, guys. I'm not muted. They can't hear me, but you guys can all hear me. And so it is something with the software. So I'm going to back out and go back in. It's crazy. It's working fine. That's what's going on, is it's showing no audio source for me. There we go.
I was just making sure.
There.
Yeah.
Can you guys
hear me? I can hear Tim there.
I still can't hear Tim.
So someone, second, so whoever's the
nothing.
Oh yeah. So one of you guys, can you hear me? Smitty, can you hear me?
I still can't
hear me.
I hear you now. Do you not hear him, Smitty?
Has he said anything? Say
yeah.
Spanish Armada.
Somebody just said something really gay, so I guess it's...
Hey, so I need one of you to make me the presenter again.
Oh, fuck, I hope it ain't me.
Looking around. Let's see. It probably is you. You're in the center.
You know what? I know how to fix that.
Nope, now it's you, Penguin.
Okay. Any idea where this is or what I got to do?
I don't. Just leave and come back. I wonder what happened. It did recognize that I didn't have any audio in this this ninja chat. Smitty, leave the room and then I'll tell you guys when to come back. It's not letting me do any of this stuff. Yeah, it doesn't. Really gonna piss me off. No, we're not using Teams. It's a ninja chat for OBS. I'm gonna recreate a room. It'll take just a couple seconds here. Can you hear me?
Well, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
By myself.
Pat's in here.
Chris, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you guys hear me?
But where's Tim?
I don't know.
Hey, can you guys hear
Tim?
Me?
Hey, there's Tim.
Yeah.
Hey.
Sorry, let me just give me a second here. I got to do these cameras real quick.
I'm not really. I'll get my camera not to be fucked.
That's the least of our concerns at this point, sir. Having flashbacks to trying to do game day at the convention this morning.
God. Hey, Smitty, how bad is your school trying to look like fucking Ole Miss is what I want to know. You guys want like a direct knockoff or what are we doing?
We are like basically being Ole Miss. We have the powder blue jerseys. Our uniforms are fucking disgusting for real.
In a good way.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. The kids get off on that stuff now.
We do not play like Ole Miss at all.
Yeah.
But we look good.
Meaning you actually make playoffs?
No, meaning our can't score.
Oh. It's early. Offense comes, you know this, offense comes together like week six.
Well, let me tell you.
We got to start dressing like Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. No. 2 weeks, the score 7-6. Defense scored the only touchdown last week. Our last night was 14-7, and defense also.
Defense wins championships, Smitty.
You guys want to hear something kind of interesting? Does anyone? No one ever really talks about it. Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian, probably two of the hottest coaches in the SEC. Both coached at USC when we were in our prime. Go figure.
I would argue y'all were not in your prime when those men were coaching.
What are you talking
about? They coached shortly after your prime.
No, I'm not saying as head coaches. I'm saying they were full offensive coordinators.
Fair enough.
I mean, this guy can fly. This is our only touchdown last night. Watch the corner. I could outrun him at this day.
Go back to the top.
Smitty, I can't wait until the Nashville convention next year when you and Pat have a 40-yard dash sprint.
I won't run. I'll blow a hamstring out.
Now, if Vegas is there, I will outrun that motherfucker.
I know Drabaka would run. I know that he would run.
Smitty, what? Rewind it. What is going on with the corner up top? I don't understand.
So we're supposed to be press man and coverage. Let me show you. This is a press man. So
what in the world?
Why'd the corner run into the end zone?
No,
he doesn't know. We got lucky that we scored.
Did that quarterback think he was going to run a slant? I'm trying to figure out why.
Threw it inside. Yeah.
It was supposed to be a slant.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Smitty, you're in white? You coach the team in white?
Yes, unfortunately. This is our JV, though. So cut us a little slack. Yeah. Pretty bad, huh?
So, Smitty, what have you been up to, man? Long break, week and a month and a half break. What have you been up to other than coaching a defensive-minded team?
I coach football, I coach softball, I coach flag football, so
my daughter's playing volleyball, so every fucking day I have something to do.
Are you teaching right now?
No, I teach. So I was one of the dumbasses that went to school and just jackassed around. So what has happened is they love me so much as a coach at Creekwood that they just made up some fucking job for me. So I just hang out. Get paid for it. Pretty sweet. I'm like in this little shack that's like a security thing, but not really. It's like an office worker that makes more than the office workers. So like I check people in. But then I have two breaks during the day for football periods. So like I guess I don't know.
Pretty kind of a receptionist in a way.
Pretty much.
Do you have to answer the phones?
Oh, my God. Call me.
I love how you're in a school right now and you've probably dropped 15 F-bombs.
Oh, well, the door's locked.
It's locked? Would that make a difference if it wasn't locked? Like, they would be able to hear you if the door wasn't locked?
I mean, can't nobody hear me. I got news for you. I cuss like a sailor on sidelines, so they all know what they're getting from me.
Because the door doesn't lock on the football sideline.
Nah.
Spinny. Have you ever had admin come to you and tell you that they need to have a private discussion with you? Wow. I've had it once. I definitely went off on a kid in the locker room once, probably took it one step too far, and I definitely had to have a meeting with him and his parents. To be fair, though, we had a pick six in the fourth quarter, so it obviously fucking worked.
Sounds like it.
Mess up and told him freaking, hey, they're going to run this play. It's going to happen. I'm going to tell you when it's coming. Literally told him it was coming, and he fucked it up. I got him on the sideline. I said, that's the most embarrassing fucking play I've ever seen in my life here.
Yeah, well, that was life compared to what I had to go talk to the admin.
Did y'all ever tell the kid or tell the kid's parents that they should put him up for adoption?
I ain't went that far yet.
Oh, okay.
Jeez.
I've heard stories of some coaches saying some stuff that make me cringe, and there's definitely some times, you know, testosterone was higher, so the fuse was shorter, you know?
It's game day.
What's that?
What time are we starting, 10?
We've already started, so everybody now knows about your awesome coaching abilities.
I had no idea we were live.
100%. At least you didn't bust out the old side titty.
I will take it right now. I wasn't.
I mean, we're taking GoFundMe donations right now on game day. If we can get up to $100, Smitty will go ahead and do game day with the shirt off.
As long as I got $100, I'm in.
I know Sammy is in the audience right now, and I know he has already pitched in $50, so.
200, I'll take my socks and shoes off.
Now you got Pat interested. Penguin, what about you?
If a foot comes on screen, I'm signing out. I can't do feet are disgusting.
Penguin, what about you? You got some big life changes that just occurred, and I'm sure a lot of the league doesn't know about it. So what's been going on with you the last, 2 months?
Well, we've got our bookstore open in downtown Madisonville, so the wife's having a great time doing that. Hired her first two employees this past week, so, I mean, it's a small town in a rural area, so it's not like, you know, it's full of people, but it's doing pretty well, and, I mean, because the closest regular bookstore, when you think of actual bookstore, is almost an hour away. So,
what county is that?
Monroe.
Holy shit. I mean, I live in Tennessee and never heard of that.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you draw a line from Chattanooga to Knoxville.
Gotcha.
If you take 75, Sweetwater, which is one town over, is right off 75, and Madisonville, we're 10 minutes away from that to the southeast.
What a stud.
So, if you need books, I know a place.
I know this is going to shock many of you, but I don't do a lot of reading.
Me neither, but don't tell my wife.
Yeah, Penguin reads every book that comes into the store, if you ask his wife.
I read everything I'm told to or asked to.
At least you know
how to read. You guys sell any Goosebumps books there?
I'm sure we do.
Reader beware, you're in for a scare. That's the last time I went to the library.
No. I mean, it is interesting to see the collection. I saw we had the latest Chuck Tingle book on the shelves the other day, and if you know what that name is, you understand why that catches your attention. If you don't, just look up some of his titles if that doesn't make sense to you, and you'll understand why that's of note.
Good to know.
I remember the old books where you could pick your story. You'd like pick, and then you'd go to a page. You know what I'm talking about? Like as a kid, you'd go like page 126, and then the venture would change.
Huh? Yep. I saw one of those the other day. Choose your own romance story in the romance novel section, because evidently that's a huge, huge part of the readers. The smut, as you would.
Are all of you coming to the Nashville convention or whatever the hell it is?
Yeah. Probably just you, Smitty.
Yeah.
If it's just the Smitty Titty Convention.
Come with the Creekwood powder blue for me, I'm going to be upset.
I will definitely have Creekwood powder blue on.
No, I'm saying, do you have an extra?
Well, absolutely. What size you need?
Extra.
You look like an large XL kind of guy.
I'm an XL guy. If I haven't fit into a large in the last 15 years, Smitty.
You're telling me.
100% beefcake, XL.
Yeah.
So what about you,
Pat? I'll still be there. Yeah.
Pat, you ventured across the United States. I know some of the people in the league know about the big move, but just what's been going on the last couple months for you?
Yeah, so in March of this year, I moved from Orange County, Huntington Beach, to Charlotte, North Carolina. Short little move. Did all that and then got to see what it's like to live on the East Coast. It's been different, but in a positive. I will say that not a lot's gone on in July. I grew up in a hot area in LA, but this is like a different kind of hot. It's like I've been in humid situations, but like July was pretty unbearable. So you don't really want to be outside for too much. So I haven't like traveled or anything. July. I went to Charleston in May. That was awesome. Have you guys ever been there?
I've never been there.
That's a wonderful place. I would 10 out of 10 recommend anyone go there, especially if you're into food, like big foodie. And then my brother and my dad are coming out here in 2 weeks, so I won't be able to attend one of the game day shows. They're coming out here for 5 nights. So they're staying with me at my townhouse, and we're going to check out Carolina. We're probably going to go to a Wake Forest game too, which is going to be super cool. Never been to a game out here. So yeah.
Other than it being Wake Forest. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, it's beautiful out here. I am worried about watching USC play this year. Obviously, if any of the listeners don't know, I'm a huge USC Trojan fan. Their games normally kick off anywhere from 5 to 7:30 Pacific. So, I got to navigate that. I think they started at 11 p.m. Eastern last year against Rutgers at home. So we're going to have to figure that one out.
You don't need sleep.
Pat, I know anything about your dad, is I know your dad would love to be a guest on the game day show in the morning before you guys head out for your daily adventures.
My dad would definitely pop his head in here for sure. My dad, and by the way, listeners, so my dad got to meet Tim and got to meet Beer Cop. We made stops in Shreveport and in Birmingham on our way here. Got a beer with Beer Cop or five. I actually was ready to go, and Beer Cop and my dad were just chumming out. And like the Uber was on, I was like, hey, we got to go. Like I was the adult in that situation. They were growing out. My dad is a great guy. So, it was really cool to meet NDLers on the road trip over, for sure.
One of my favorite parts about meeting your dad is when we were eating breakfast is he knew some of the people in the league by name, because on the way over, Pat was listening to all the media stuff, and his dad started to get into it. And so his dad knew a lot about what was going on in the NDL.
If you're in the car for 7 hours a day, you got to come up and get creative. Plus, you guys have to keep in mind, I've been in this league since I was 17, I think, 18. I can't remember. So, like, my dad probably heard me talking shit about someone on the boards at some point, you know?
Your dad hated someone along with you.
Exactly. Yeah. He's definitely, dude, you could tell him that water isn't wet, and he'd be like, dude, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's been exciting. We've had a couple weeks off. It's been a nice little break, but we've obviously, the game day crew here has been excited to get back into our game day shows and Saturday mornings and talking about the NDL. Obviously, every Saturday morning, the new polls come out, and so we'll jump into the talk of the new polls here in the NDL. As you can see, there's been some shuffling back towards the end and stuff, but probably nothing too crazy. Does anything stand out to you guys about the poll? Are you surprised by anything in the NDL poll?
I just want to start by saying that I did vote Alabama number one. Sue me, okay?
No, it's crazy. You still don't get what the point I made last year. You literally voted yourself ahead of someone that beat you in the college football playoffs. So clearly you weren't better than them. You can put yourself number one now. That makes perfect sense.
I think everybody knows. I do it. I tried clicking it on my computer and it didn't let me do it. So I just right back. That's on me.
I'm blind. As far as the poll, Tim, most of it makes sense. It's like, we'll talk about the game later. We've got a top 10 matchup this week, and it's a conference game. Like, it doesn't get better than that, right? Number 8, Utah. Number 9, Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Medium.
Yeah, game of the week. There's a lot of good matchups here in these. We talked about it a little bit on PTD yesterday, how exciting some of these out-of-conference matchups have been and just the kind of entertainment it's given us. Probably the biggest, you look at the two different polls here, you see the media poll, and I think Clemson should have fell a little bit further in the NDL top 25. I know he's had a lot of success and stuff, but man, that week one showing, that was a butt-whooping. And so I'm not sure that with the small sample size, you deserve to even be probably in the top 15. Because I think that there's teams that have done more in the first 2 weeks than Clemson has. I mean, I think that he should have fell a little bit further.
Yeah, I mean, we all know he's a good team, but I mean, like, for example, to see you've got a big discrepancy between where Clemson and Illinois are, and they're both in a similar situation, having played the top team, but had very different way those games went. It is... I feel like there definitely should be a little bit more movement in the polls this early in the season when you have results like that. But, I mean, we'll see what happens.
I struggle with what we do, but I mean, I wanted to put Illinois 10 because he got beat in a really good game. But at the end, you don't want to not reward. No, one of them had really good games. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In my poll, Illinois was the highest ranked team with a loss. And I mean, I think I clocked them in at 13 with that there. And I had Clemson down at 14, not far behind them. So I still had them both pretty high. But I mean, I think early in the season, it'd be better if all of us would remember to look at these and realize, you know, you're not a slave to what week one was. You know, we learn a lot from week one to week two. Don't just copy and paste. Think about it and submit a whole new poll.
And actually, I messed up and didn't even vote Clemson in the top 20. That's on me.
Well, the way he got his brakes beat off, maybe he's not a top 25 team. That was disgustingly ugly. What was it, 35-0 after the first quarter? I'm kidding.
I wasn't the only one that didn't vote Clemson top 25 either, though, in the media.
If you threw out last season's success, which some voters can do, like that, you're completely allowed to do that. And you just took off what you got for a sample size in the first 2 weeks, is you could definitely make the argument that right now he's not a top 25 team compared to how some of the other teams have played. You know, when I voted, Miami had a bigger win than any of Clemson's wins. Obviously, then Miami lost. And then obviously, Pat, you mentioned it yesterday. Oklahoma was 0-0, and then they had a big win. You know, after several people. What's that, Smitty?
Is that Oklahoma beat Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah, Colorado won the first play of the game, and none others after that. Not even the point after.
That's kind of. I thought he was going to have a really good season, isn't he? 0-2.
It is, but it's not like he's locked with scrubs either. And that Colorado team is a shadow of what they had last year. And I would actually argue, looking at as far as the playmakers go on offense, outside of Colorado got some good running backs, that Northwestern might actually be a more dangerous offensive team than that Colorado team is. So still, I think he'll adjust. If I were at the end of the season, I still think he's going to be in the mix for a conference championship game berth.
But what Colorado's doing though is that if Colorado wins the Big 12 championship, he's going to discredit the conference though, because he wasn't able to beat any of the good teams from other conferences. Right. And so then you're going to, if he wins that conference, you're going to say the Big 12 isn't that good, right? Their best team, you know, couldn't compete against some of the other teams. And I don't think that Oklahoma is going to be the best team in their conference. I think they'll be good, but I don't think they're going to be the best team.
Time will tell. That very well may be rendered mute depending on what Texas Tech or Utah does. One of them might emerge as a true power this season and could very well wax Colorado. But I mean, no, your point is valid though. If Colorado finishes the season 10-2 and wins the conference, that's definitely going to make it hard for the Big 12 to get an additional team in the playoffs, you got to think.
Tim, can you hear me?
Yep.
I just got breaking news. Texas Tech and Utah kicks off in just 90 minutes from now.
Wow. There you go. Game of the week, NDL Game of the Week block 2, Texas Tech, Utah, which, you know, definitely is the biggest conference matchup, I would say, so far this season. And it has obviously conference championship implications for that conference, as many would think they were the top two teams. Yeah, that's going to be fun. That'll be exciting, interesting. Hey, who do you think is the biggest surprise in your top 25, Smitty? Who's someone at the beginning of the season you didn't think would be up there?
For me, I put, I really didn't think Boise State was going to start off season 2-0 with some decent wins. But I ranked him 20th, and I think preseason I didn't rank him, and then I had to rank him 20th because he had two good wins. Another one, this one doesn't surprise me. It's going to surprise everybody else, though, is Tulsa. The only reason it didn't surprise me is I know who it is. I got him in the league. I knew he would be okay. I mean, he's 2-0 and dog walked Northwestern with a good win. And the other one, probably my last one, is I got Coastal Carolina 2-0 and put them 24th, and I would have never thought they was going to be worth anything.
Smitty, I watched – oh, and there he – oh.
Got to poop.
Absolutely incredible, this guy. I have to ask him a question. Hold on.
Oh, he's got his kid in there.
Oh, that's awesome. Can't hear me.
You're still muted. You're still muted, sir.
No, yeah, I'm not muted.
Here we go.
Oh, now you are.
Hey, so Smitty, so you saw Tulsa play? That guy's good.
Nah, he's not that good.
Come on. You know him.
I know him. He's my best friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, he's good. Shut up. He's good.
He played really good that night. He ain't that good.
Dude.
If you're watching, Ryan, I love you.
Oh. Yeah. With our millions of viewers, he has to be in there somewhere.
Has to be. What are we at? 5 million?
We're probably just always about 2-3 people short of 5 million. Whatever big BBB is, we're just about 3 viewers short. 4, because we're in here. You know what I mean? So, whatever their total is, Spinny.
Does,
hey, how is Wake Forest not ranked? you know.
That was going to be my thing, is that my two biggest surprises on here is Missouri being in the top 25 at the beginning of the season. I didn't think that they'd probably be very relevant in the SEC, but then my biggest thing was I don't know how Wake Forest isn't in the top 25 in either poll, based upon their success with Central Michigan, right? Who we'd argue is one of the greatest MAC teams ever last three seasons. And
for those to maybe just, and you know, I'll get in here real quick. And for those who didn't watch the game maybe and just see the score, it was definitely not like a running the score up thing. He was throwing the ball at the right times. The opponent threw a lot of picks. So like, I hope people aren't voting it because, you know, like he scored 70 points, right? But it was like a justified 70 points. Like it was interceptions all over the field. He didn't run it up. It was an awesome game to watch. It was very interesting to watch. But yeah, I mean, he can definitely throw the ball. I'm excited to watch Wake play everybody this year. You know, it's nice to have eyes on him now. So.
Yeah, no, I definitely got to agree with the picks of Boise would have been my first choice. I agree with Smitty on that. And then, yeah, not having Wake there, that win is just wild. But, a nod also to Missouri there. We're making our – those. They were probably weren't on anyone's preseason poll, most likely. Maybe the Missouri's coach, that's about it. But they looked good so far to start the season and definitely maybe end up being a factor.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We talk about it every year. The polls that come out at the beginning of the year are always there's always a lot to talk about and nitpick them and stuff. I'm sure a lot of it is.
What's that? And that's the purpose of early polls, just stuff to talk about. Yep. I just think it's a good thing if people remember, you know, it's a need kind of a hard reset going into that second and third poll, because you'll learn so much. You're going to have a team that's 4-0. You're going to have a team that's 2-2 that you never expected. So, I mean, adjust accordingly.
And you have a lot of teams that haven't played. And so how do you weight that? Do you penalize the team? I think Pat brought up, hey, some teams have buys. Some teams have do different things, you know, at the beginning
whole
of the
season.
Scheduling.
It was season 30 where I didn't have a week one or two game. So I hope I wouldn't get punished. Like I couldn't play anyone. It's just not possible.
Yeah. I prefer to think of it as rewarding those who've played their games versus punishing those who haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean,
big question, who fell early that you think will like be slept on? You know, when you lose early, this is the beauty of football. You kind of like people don't focus on you and you can like win your next 8 games in a row. And then all of a sudden you get talked about again. Who's a team you think that lost early that will be back in the mix in like 6 to 8 weeks? You get what I'm saying? Like, who do you think's that team that'll come bounce back slowly and maybe quietly?
I'm still buying on Colorado. I still think Tutty is going to figure that out, and it's going to be a pain in the ass later in the season.
Yeah.
I got to think that Notre Dame team is full of talent. I got to think they're better than what they showed getting waxed by Miami. I think they can be a lot better than that.
Yeah, the Miami game was crazy. He didn't really get anything going on offense at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one-sided.
Yeah.
I think I would probably say, I mean, I know Clemson is a high-rated team and stuff, but I would probably say them and only because of how they got beat. In that first game, right? Like it was a beatdown. Like that was some people may never recover from that, right? And so, but I think he's gonna. Obviously, he's the best team in the ACC. When I put the team and the coach together, I think so. And so it'll be really interesting. I know it in the early part of the game, you're still kind of figuring it out, and he's a run heavy offense, right? He was last year too. And obviously this game is a little bit different with how you run the ball, right? You can't just hand the ball off every play that he does. And so I think he's going to have to learn.
When you can't just give Moffitt the ball 40 times.
Yeah. And so I think he's going to learn that, you know, his how to play and how to work with his defense, and then also to mix in a little bit more of the play action and a little bit more probably of some disguising some pass plays that look like run plays that aren't play action.
Yeah. And to be fair, 99% of the league would have looked like that or worse versus Texas.
Yeah, I mean, Jiggy's going to be good this year. That roster is extremely good.
Crazy. I feel like if you gave me Texas, I could confidently pencil in 10 wins with literally any schedule for me.
I'd probably still lose three or four in the SEC at least. Probably all of them. The only one I'm winning is probably against Wake Forest that I schedule out of conference because it's my nephew.
You get a basketball score in that game.
Yeah, we scrimmaged the other day. We scrimmaged like right before we left for the Bahamas, and I think our score was 70 to like 60-some. So when I saw him drop 70 against Central Michigan, it didn't come as a surprise because he's got some of the fastest players in the game on his offense.
That's got some sneaky good talent on that roster.
Yeah, and the speed in this year's game is crazy. Like we were talking about it pregame is, if you get a guy in the 90s, you're a step ahead of, you know, a half of the league already. I don't know that the Washington State roster has a single guy with over a 91 speed on the whole roster. I think 90. I don't even know. I think 89 is my fastest guy.
Yeah. I guess we lost. Oh, did we lose Smitty?
Well, we lost him a while ago. It's not a surprise.
Fair enough. At least he called his name somewhere.
Yeah, at least he muted himself and walk across the basketball floor with his camera and mic on.
That was while you're giving like instructions. All I could hear was like, you know, when the basketball shoes hit the floor, the squeak sound. That's all I could hear with like a random whistle.
Yep.
We love Smitty.
Yeah, we do. Yep, yep. What are some
Now's in the car. You never know where he's going to be.
Oh, gosh. Back in it. Smitty is back.
Sir, I believe that the hands-free theater. I'm just in the car.
Drive, get lunch. I'm going to get lunch. I want you to go with me. I'm going to stop.
Mike, I can barely understand you.
You're incredible, dude.
Driving to get food.
I mean, who else would be this kind of game? Driving down the road. To get
I do no like that you have your seatbelt on.
I told my family to wait, but I mean, that's just me.
I do like how you have your seatbelt on, Smitty.
Yeah, you're my favorite.
Safety is sexy.
Hey, Penguin, if you had to pick a mid-major team that's going to make the college football playoff, who's it going to be?
Oh, yeah. Great question.
Boise. Very impressed Boise with them State. To start the season this side of GMT. I didn't think they'd be trash, but I think that 2-0 start plus with the early loss by Central Michigan. Now, granted, there's a lot of young blood in the mid-majors, and I'm sure there's a guy or two to make a run. But early on, Boise with that 2-0 start and a couple of good wins, I think they're the early leader.
What about you, Pat?
Probably media bias, but Jokers, Memphis, that's my pick. I think he'll be good. The AAC is good, but the team is really fast, and we keep speaking about it, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but the speed thing is a major difference in this year's game. You know, like you can be in a good spot, like coverage wise, and the guy is just a little bit faster than your guys. And so I think he'll be the representative for the little guys, as we'd say.
What about you, Smitty? Who do you got for mid major?
I would go Tulsa. I think the speed is so I don't want to pick the same team because I was going to say Jokers too. So
yeah,
I think it'd be the one to like agree, but I think Jokers for sure.
I'm gonna go with Pirate Flag in Nevada. His schedule's favorable. He does get to play Boise State during the regular season. Boise being ranked right now is going to help him. He plays San Diego State, who will most likely probably be one of the top three teams in that conference, and so that'll help his strength of schedule. His out of conference, he's playing Jacksonville State, who is one of our game pickems this week, who I think will have a good season at Jacksonville, so that'll help. And he also played Northern Illinois with Jay Hubbard, who obviously we know has the potential to maybe even win the MAC, right? Or at least do well in the MAC. And so I could see Nevada going undefeated and would potentially represent the mid-majors. I think he really's got to hope for Boise to go undefeated and that be their only loss, and then them probably face up again in the Mountain West Championship with both having one loss. Would probably be the only scenario where that would work for Nevada.
Beat Nevada team, I'd have to like their chances, because even if Boise doesn't go undefeated, that's going to be really darn impressive, because I was actually looking at these rosters the other day and messing around a little bit. Nevada is not a great roster. So if he can pull that off, that's going to be quite impressive. In fact, I would argue that he had a better roster, at least as far as difference makers at Old Dominion last year.
Yeah, Nevada's offense is pretty bad. But obviously he was able to score 42 points against Northern Illinois. So it'll be really interesting to see how that kind of shakes out. I think, the Mountain West will be very competitive this year with Boise. I'm with you guys being 2-0 right now with two quality wins or kind of shocked me.
Let's not forget, Jeff Daddy casually there, the Y Rainbow Warriors in it 2-0 as well. It might be
nice. Yep. With a big win over Temple, shut them out 27-0 and, obviously beat Neil, and he has a big game coming up against Dave this block with UConn. Dave's like hit or miss, right? Like one season, Dave will just kind of dominate with the user stuff, which I think you'll see him do fairly well this year because defense has kind of made a step up, and that's where Dave really hangs his hat, as being a good defensive team.
If you can play good defense, and especially path defense, you're really doing something. So that's definitely going to catch your eye.
You know, it's fun when you play against Dave. This is why I like playing guys like him. You never know what play he's going to call, which is why he's a lot of fun to play. He'll run halfback toss, and then he'll run some weird-ass screen that you didn't even know was in the game. Like, he's just, like, really good. He runs, like, a ton of offense. So that's why you have to do that stuff when you're UConn, right? Like, you got to get creative, and that's what he's really good at, is being super creative. So seeing, like, a air raid team versus him, I think it's going to be high scoring. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yep. I think it'll be high scoring game. Probably it's going to be whoever turns the ball over late in the game and then gives that double possession to someone. So they'll lose by 14, probably.
Yeah.
What do you, I got another question for you. It looks like Smitty's ordering food right now. You got one team to pick right now. Who are you hanging your hat on and betting your house on to win the chipper this year? Yeah, you're betting everything right now. Betting everything on him.
Everything.
Well, I would put it on Jiggy. You know, he's not my favorite guy in the world, but he's really good. So,
I got to take LSU. I got to take Bucknut for the three-peat. Sure, I mean, Texas and Jiggy is very tempting, but LSU is just as good. And I think that whole aspect of, you know, being in someone's head a little and having a little bit of mojo is right now at this moment on LSU's side.
Yeah. In all the media stuff that we've done, we've had to pick, you know, who we thought we'd win and stuff. And I was really high on LSU. Obviously their roster is loaded with talent, and Bucknut's proven that he can win in the NDL. But, man, watching the first couple of weeks play out, I just can't put much weight on LSU anymore. And the big reason why is the game's changed, and he will not change, right? He won't change how he fundamentally plays defense. And it's going to come back to bite him. And you saw it happen against Illinois. The game was close, right? To where his Jiggy evolves, his coordinators evolve, he's playing differently. And Jiggy is blowing people out right now. And that roster is loaded. And so I really, that's what's kind of tipping it for me is that as Jiggy's able to adapt with the game changing every year, you know, and they both, I mean, they, Texas played Clemson and absolutely demolished him. The Boston College game was a little bit closer for Jiggy, but I don't think he was ever, you know, not in, it was never in question that he was going to win. And so, obviously, have a big matchup coming up against Illinois that'll give us a common opponent to see how that kind of plays out. But I really hanging my hat on Texas, and that's what I would bet everything on is because he's evolving as a coach to where we aren't really going to see that with LSU.
We're basing this on one game for LSU, but I get your point. Your point is valid for sure. I mean, there's nothing I can say against thinking that Texas is that team. That's for sure.
I mean, it's just the way the game is this year is that with a fundamental cover three defense, you're going to struggle against a team that can pass the ball because just the way that the defense reacts in cover three is not how it was last year.
It doesn't.
I mean, they just don't. And so I think if you sit in that and you aren't going to change, someone like Jiggy is going to, he's going to open up the doors on you.
I think our guy at Ohio State, besides those two, has the best chance to win it all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so three teams in the SEC.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I feel like at any point he can just go up top, you know, Ohio State to Smith, and the quarterback is still good, and the team is good. I don't know. And he's a good user. Like, he's definitely someone. In one, you know, one game elimination, I he could definitely hang with those guys.
Yeah. The I'll say the results of a game in this block that we'll actually pick later could entirely change my pick.
So when I ask that same question next week, it could be different.
Yeah, it could be completely changed because I want to believe in one team, but I can't yet till I see one more a good test out of them yet.
Awesome. Well, I mean, we obviously were a little bit late this morning, getting everything going and the audio and stuff. We really appreciate all the patience. As we're
Smitty's
using some...
fault. Smitty's fault.
Yeah,
he spilled Diet Pepsi on everything.
Yep. We're still working on obviously getting our cameras and stuff and using some different programs and stuff. So we appreciate it. But this show will be a little bit shorter in sense of when we started talking, just because I don't want to keep everybody here past, you know, that 90-minute mark. And so we'll kind of jump into some of the pick'ems this week for block two, which obviously we narrowed it down to six games. It was really tough because there's some really big matchups in block two.
First one, are we going with Nevada, Jack State here?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Right. So I'm going to give the history, by the way, to our listeners on some of these schools before I pick them. So I was a history major in college. I nerd out on this stuff, and I hope some of you do too. Okay. The Nevada Wolf Pack, by the way, Penguin. How many teams in the NCAA have the mascot, the Wolf Pack?
Two, I believe.
Can you name those schools?
NC State, Nevada.
There you go. Very good. Okay. Hey, in 1927, okay, the Nevada Wolf Pack used to be called the Wolves, okay? They originally called the Wolves because the student handbook said that the football team played like hungry wolves. The following year, the student handbook said that they played like a wolf pack, so they ended up changing their mascot to the Wolf Pack. Where they play their home games, elevation is 4,600 feet above sea level, located in not beautiful Reno, Nevada. Here's an interesting thing. They have a hillside letter that they put above their stadium. It's the letter N, obviously. Not a letter major here, but probably because the school is University of Nevada. So what they do is every fall during football season, a group of avid alumni, supporters, and new students make the trek. They hike all the way up and they reseal the letter N on that hillside. The student section during their home games will recite The Law of the Jungle, which is a poem from Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book. Some of us maybe have seen it, probably. King Louie.
Or read it. Yeah.
Or read it. There you go. But, you know, if you're a, what are we, millennials? I don't even know what generation we are. But we've probably seen it. Mowgli, King Louie, you know who we are, Shere Khan. Okay. It's recited before the team kicks the ball off in the stadium, and then they will release a loud howl from the loudspeaker. So kind of a cool thing that they got going there, a tradition unlike any other, as you would say. Most famous alumni, you guys ready for this? Maybe you've heard of them. Colin Kaepernick. You've got JaVale McGee, one of my favorite NBAers of all time, and Sean Marion. Okay. Of what I think of is the Dallas Mavericks or Phoenix Suns.
One of the ugliest jump shots of all time.
Yes, absolutely. Pretty sure he was the leading scorer 1 year in the league. Maybe I'm making that up. Someone can
I believe you are.
Don't care. Here we go.
He was sixth man of the year once.
Ah, that's what it is. There you go. Sixth man, best man, all the same. Jacksonville State, home of the Gamecocks. Now, do you guys realize, do you know where Jacksonville State is, Tim?
Not in Jacksonville.
Well, kind of. It is in Jacksonville, but in Jacksonville, Alabama. Now, here's what's interesting. Jacksonville State started off as a state teachers college in 1883. It wasn't a university. It was just there to train teachers. But in the 1930s, they changed their name to Jacksonville State Teachers College. And 5 years later, the college got its first accreditation to be a part of the university system. And then in 1957, they started their first sports athletic program. Their football field is named Burgess Snow Field. It's named after the longtime Jacksonville supporter, Paul Snow. I mean, who doesn't know Paul Snow? Big guy in the community. And in 1992, they were the Division II college football national champions. The home field seats 24,000 people, which is probably the amount of people that will show up week 11 when UCLA probably plays some shit team like, I don't know, Purdue or something like that. Their most famous alumni, Danny Willett, Masters champion. Okay, he gets to go. He gets a free dinner one day a year. Okay, Eric Davis, NFL corner and Super Bowl champ, played in the league for 12 years. And then this is a good one. Ashley Martin Cockrell, first female football player in the United States to suit up and score points in an NCAA football game. How about that?
What did she do? Did she kick?
She definitely kicked the field goal. Yeah. And then this is more important. Heather Whitestone McCallum, 1995 Miss America, looked her up. Not as hot as you'd think. So here we go. I'm going to go in this one with Jacksonville State by one.
That's a lot. Well, for this one here, all that fun stuff there, we are playing this game in Nevada. And we got a coaching staff there that established themselves last year. And I think... basically, it's going to be as if a pack of wolves encountered a solitary cock, and basically what would happen there. So, give me the wolf pack. City?
I got the wolf pack by a million. I think it's going to be a very bad game. With a lot of touchdowns by that Navy
book. I think it ends up being a 3-score game at least. I got Nevada winning as well. That's a clean sweep there for the Nevada Wolfpack.
Well, moving along, next game, we've got Missouri traveling to Penn State. Now, Missouri is definitely one of the surprise teams of the season, sitting at 2-0. We all knew they had some talent. Big win over BC and an established coach in Rock. And, you know, Penn State, though, a lot of talent on that roster, and that home crowd is no joke at all. Given that, I think that home field is going to be a big factor, and Penn State's got plenty of talent to get it done without it, but that is going to tip it in their favor, and I see the Nittany Lions winning this one by a touchdown.
Man, I hope you're wrong. I really want to play with Penn State one day on this game because their stadium is insane. You know, I would like to go somewhere besides SEC for a year. So I'm hoping Penn State loses, but Penn State's going to win. So we got Penn State. Roster's just been good. And actually, dude, Nittany's been playing insane. I watched the game. I'm very impressed with what he's doing. So I think he's got plays on him. Two touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Beaver Stadium is a giant. It's going to be a big difference in the game here. And like you guys said, he's going to be able to run the ball, control the ball, and I think his defense is eventually going to take over. And I think this will kind of be the end of the stop talking about the Missouri on the rise.
Yeah, I'm going to go with our fearless leader, the Niddler, in this one. That's my dynamite analysis.
You definitely changed your picks.
Oh, I've changed them all. It's awesome. Yeah. I'm open
so when someone sees the graphic and they see the Missouri flop up there, it was Pat changing his mind.
The constants in life, death, taxes, and that Pat will change his mind.
Big Mike says, niddle, gonna diddle. Next up is a big matchup. Speaking of Big Mike here, Florida versus LSU, big SEC showdown happening in LSU in Baton Rouge. Anyone that's had the luxury of partaking in a night game in Baton Rouge knows that there's probably nothing else like it. That's what everybody's going to say in every town they live in or any school they go to, but night games in the SEC probably just hit different. And Pat and I were talking about earlier, it's like high school football where Texas thinks they're better than everyone. It has something to say when you can pack a stadium full of, 100,000 people every single night.
Yeah.
It's just going to hit a little bit different down here in the SEC. It's going to be a big matchup. This is going to be a matchup that has a lot of conference championship implications. The reason being is obviously a lot of the teams like Florida have a very tough schedule this year, as well as LSU, to where a loss early in the season really can back you back in that corner. I think Legway is going to make some plays. I don't think the home field's going to affect them as much as it may another quarterback, but at the end of the day, LSU's roster is full of talent. Bucknut's done nothing but prove to the NDL that he can win, even when he's not counted on, right? Even when we pick against him. And it's really hard for me to take anyone outside of the state of Louisiana as I live here. And so I have the Louisiana Tigers beating the old Florida Gators.
Yeah, I mean, this one I'm definitely not changing my mind on. Love you, Mike, but you're going to get stomped. LSU by 21.
Me? As I mentioned, DJ Lag is a beast, and the Gators did name their scores in their first two games. But this is at LSU, and we've got history in here, and as you're talking about talent overall, it's a wash, if not an advantage for LSU. For that reason, I guess the way I would phrase it is that Buck Nuts big on Mike, and this would be the fourth time in a row it's happened.
Another clean sweep by LSU, as Smitty also picked LSU. As you can tell, Smitty dropped. Hopefully he didn't get in a car crash as he's driving and eating a Big Mac.
Oh, all right. Yes, oh, yes,
as
sir.
He spoke, look at him. He's back.
Where are we at?
Smitty, who do you got? Tell us why you got LSU beating Florida.
I have LSU beating Florida.
even though I really, really, really hope Florida wins. LSU's roster, y'all talk about Texas's roster being loaded. LSU's roster is the best of the game. It's just too much speed. Florida's got a lot of speed to it, receiver. But, I mean, LSU's roster is the best of the game. I've played this game a lot. But I don't even think it's close. I think it's LSU and Texas, and then everybody else is just, you know, pretty good. But their LSU's offense is stupid. So, I got LSU. Hope to God he loses. But, it, like, it matters. I mean, what's his win goal? Five. So, I mean, he's going to keep them all cycles. So.
There it is. Is it Duke and Iowa State time?
It is.
Oh, wow. Someone's getting shy. Hard to when you're in a closet with flannel behind you, but we have our one and only.
Is that a kilt?
No, it's a it's a shirt.
Flannel dress?
Actually, no, it's a shirt.
It looks really good. Almost as good as Smitty's left armpit driving that car. We have Iowa State this week, ladies and gentlemen, against Duke. A matchup of basically which white guys are the most talented. The name, by the way, of Duke University, I don't know if you guys know this, was inspired by a group of French soldiers from World War I, nicknamed Le Diable Iblis. Phenomenal accent. The Blue Devils. These Alpine troops, known for their distinctive blue uniforms, impressed returning Duke students after the war, so the university adopted Blue Devils in their honor. So every time you cheer on Duke's team, you're actually invoking a bit of World War I history and the Diable de Blis. Here's another fun fact about Duke. If you're a student there, you better be an animal lover. They actually have a Lemur sanctuary on campus where students can go hang out with the Lemures. It's called the Duke Lemur Center. Google it. Check it out. Only university-based facility in the world devoted to studying these primates. Unbelievable. It also houses the world's largest colony of endangered primates outside of Madagascar. Go figure. I thought all they did at Duke was play basketball. The most famous alumni. How about this? President Nixon. Yeah, I'm not a crook. Maybe you are, though. Mike Posner, come on, I took a pill in Ibiza. Who doesn't know that track? Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner.
Rather than looking.
And you ready for this one? Liberals will love this. Melinda Gates, Bill Gates' ex-wife. I matched with her, actually, on Hinge last week, but she didn't want to go to Taco Bell on a first date, so fuck her.
Yeah.
Now, Iowa State, the Cyclones. Ooh. Check this out. Penguin, you probably don't know this, but let me educate you. The nickname stuck after an Iowa State football win in 1895. That was over, I'm not a math major, a long time ago. The Chicago Tribune wrote, Northwestern might as well have tried to play football with an Iowa Cyclone as with the Iowa State team that it met yesterday. So they went with that. But it was very hard to depict a Cyclone on the uniform. So they picked a bird. What bird, you ask? The cardinal, because they are cardinal and some other ugly color. Here we go. Now, they have a lake on campus, Lake Laverne, home to, check this out, this is actually very interesting, a pair of swans that have been in the family and are well protected since 1935. So they are the offspring of the original swans on Lake Laverne on campus. It said if you walk around the lake with your significant other three times, if you do three laps, you will get married. 100% rate on that. Haven't looked into the clinical data on that, but I'm sure it's accurate.
Pat's going to stay away from there.
Yeah, most famous alum. You ready for this? George Washington Carver. Pretty sure we learned about him in elementary school. Forget what he did. Just kidding. Henry Wallace. Now, here's something interesting. He was the vice president to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And then one of my favorite NBA hoopers of all time, he was all gas, no breaks, Jeff Hornacek of the Iowa State Cyclones. In this game, I am going to go with the Duke Blue Devils. I think they get it done through the air. Duke by 10.
Well, I can vouch for that swan story because actually both my parents went to school there, and I know for a fact they've walked around that lake. So there's
that
some
fucking rad if that's a true story.
It is. Both my parents, four cousins, and I think five aunts and uncles have all attended Iowa State. So I know a little bit about it.
Very nice. Very nice.
Getting into the game, though, teams are pretty even on paper. You definitely, Duke's got a little bit more going on. They've got some pretty fearsome beasts on that defensive line and in that secondary. And we all know what Jumper has done through the air in his time in the league, with only two losses to this point. And frankly, I mean, till proven otherwise, even on the road, it's hard to think it's not going to go in his favor. So I got to say, this is going to go pretty much how it would be if these teams met in basketball. So Duke probably pulls away late in this one.
So I had originally picked Iowa State and actually went back and changed my pick this morning. And the only reason I did is that Penguin picked against himself, so he's not very confident. And so that, because I think it's going to be a really close game. I think it's going to come down to the very end. And I just had a hard time picking a guy that doesn't think he's going to win. And so I ended up picking Duke.
Well, we're trash. So, I mean, you know this.
Well, I hope you win.
I wanted to pick Iowa State. He had no confidence in himself. So definitely Duke had no confidence in him. So I got Duke. Should be a really good game, but I'll pick Duke because he didn't.
Public shaming. All right. Jumping in. We've got another rivalry game. That's a fun one every year. Washington State Cougars and the Washington Huskies taking each other on. Always a tough battle. And the Cougs, as many people may not have forgotten that they've won 11 games in back-to-back seasons under their current administration. So even though they may not be loaded with talent, they definitely know how to win and sling that rock around there. But those Huskies, that is a severely underrated roster. There is more speed going on there than most teams of a comparable rating level. And for that reason, plus they get it at home, I got to think it's going to be the Huskies are going to win that Fruit Bowl.
I need to hear your pick before I make my pick.
Yeah. So basically, I'll make this quick. The last time that Washington State won in Pullman was in 2012. Mark it down, 2025. Washington State Cougars take home the victory against the Huskies. I can barely hear him.
That's okay. He's our Smitty. He said he's got the Cougars by 21.
Boom.
Tim, you're one of my favorite guys, obviously, in the league. Steamroller is probably schematically one of the best people I've ever played. It's going to be such an interesting game. It's like literally two completely different styles of football playing each other. So it's hard to pick a winner. I'm just going to go with Washington just because they're the better team overall. I have no like basis or like, hey, he'll do this. I have no, the only reason I'm picking him is because his team just has like better AI guys. So that's my reason.
It's exciting. We got some breaking news as well. Obviously, we bring up the Apple Cup, and Mr. Wizard himself, homie, says right now NDL Game Day is the fourth largest stream show on Twitch right now for college football.
Wow.
Pretty exciting news there. Mainly,
it's hard to get their followers into the millions, you know, but you do what you can, you know?
Yep.
I feel like if we all walked around the lake at Iowa State, we would all get even more viewers together, you know,
and just, we do the show together.
Yeah,
just doing the show together and holding hands. Then we all be inside of a closet.
Yeah. Well, it's a wow. You I get it. I get it. Very nice. Very nice.
This
very
is the same place, thing when you could come out.
Very nice. By the way, I'm going to bring a special guest on really quick for before the game of the week. Been dying to be on camera all day. You know, like Herb Street has his dog, which rest in peace. We got this guy right here, Pismo. He is going to be a guest all the time on game day. He's always raises an eyebrow when Smitty makes a pick, and he is wondering when Penguin's going to come out of the closet. So what are we going to do? we're on to Tech.
Yeah, big game of the week for NDL College game day.
What do you guys think about this? We're going to get into it. This is my last history of school saying. Now, here's what's interesting, ladies and gentlemen. So you would think finding information about those other schools earlier would be hard. No, it was quite easy. The toughest part of this assignment was to find information about the Texas Tech and Utah. That was interesting because, holy shit, what a sleepy university both of these schools are. If I had children, which I don't plan on, I'd never let them go here, but let's talk about them. Texas Tech's campus. Here's one of their most interesting things. Go figure. Both beautiful and large, covering 1900 acres of land. It's the largest landmass campus in the United States. Congrats on that. That's really cool. So students are late to class all the time. This unofficial tradition. Now, a lot of people know this. The tortilla toss began in the 1990s after a sports broadcaster made a comment that the only thing in Lubbock was a tortilla factory and Texas Tech football. And while he was right, the students decided to take it to another level. Today, students throw flour tortillas on the opening kickoff of each game. Fearless Champion is the mascot, a live mascot. He leads the team onto the football field. Here you go. In 1936, as a student dare, a Texas Tech student named George Tate, he was probably bored because that's all you are when you're living in Lubbock is bored, began a tradition first known as Ghost Riders, which would later become the university's official mascot in 1954, the Masked Rider. Real original, guys. Joe Kirk Fulton is named as first in a long series of horse riding emblems. Cool. Really exciting stuff, Texas Tech. Each year, Tech students try out for the mass rider position. I wonder if Mort was one of them. The students are selected by the university's mass rider advisory committee, by the way. They have a mass rider advisory committee. Good to see the university dollars are going to really important places. They serve the university for 1 year, making over 300 public appearances on behalf of Tech. Sounds exhausting. And also, probably not when they have anything exciting going on during football season because the team is average. They probably are excited for football or basketball season. Texas Tech, notable alumni. This was the most exciting part about the school. Barry Corbin, okay. G.W. Bailey. Paul Lockhart. He's literally been to outer space, okay. And then here we go. Almost heaven, West Virginia. You would think went to school in Morgantown, but actually the John Denver is alumni of Texas Tech. What do you know? And man, now Utah.
I just watched that documentary on John Denver. Me and did my family did. Yeah, and it was actually really good. I'm not a giant John Denver fan. I like some of the music and stuff, but it was a really cool documentary. I think it was like Timothy Chalamet or whatever played John Denver, right? Is it right? Okay. Yeah, I think that's the right documentary. It was pretty good.
It was enjoyable. Probably.
Timothy Chalamet played Bob Dylan.
Oh, that's what I watched was the Bob Dylan. I got the musicians wrong.
And I'm glad Penguin came in and saved you there. I was just going to move on to Utah. So, the home of the Utes. You'd never know this about Utah, but probably not a lot of history because all it is blonde haired, blue-eyed white people, but after early settlers came to the area, an ambition vision took shape to establish an institution of higher learning that would have an inedible mark on Western Frontier. February 28th, 1850, the first State University of Utah off the Missouri River opened. Classes were held in private homes, and get this, this is what always tickles my fancy. Tuition was $8 quarter, $8. A little different today. The rich history of trailblazing spirit and growth has shaped our institution. This is their mission statement. Into the esteemed university it is today. I don't know about esteemed. You guys had Cameron Rising there for 8 years. The University of Utah acknowledges that its campus is built upon the traditional and ancestral homeland of the Shoshone, Paiute, not even going to say that one, and Ute tribes. We recognize and respect the enduring relationship that exists between us and the indigenous people. Well, no shit, because you're probably giving them money. Here's the deal. Here's the worst part about Utah, you guys. You ready? I Googled their most famous alumni. Exactly. There's no famous alumni. So, here's what I've got, though. I have Utah by double digits over Texas Tech. Give me Utah.
That's a tough act to follow there. Yeah. Well, the Utes do have home field cooking for them in this game here. And, I mean, as you said, this is a huge matchup, and we could easily possibly see these two in the Big 12 title game for a rematch later in this season. And even though these were both teams that slid into the playoffs last year, neither made the conference championship game then. So you got to imagine that the hunger factor is really high. But what it's going to come down to for me is where that talent is on these rosters here. And on paper, you're going to say they're pretty even. But Utah's best two players are on the offensive line. And if you know much about this game, what do offensive line ratings mean? Nothing. And Texas Tech is beastly up front. That defensive line, you could sub that in for pretty much any SEC roster as well. So given that, the Utah Redhawks, I mean, they may have passed the Migratory Bird Treaty Act in 1918 to protect endangered species like them. That won't help them here today. The Masked Rider and the Red Raiders will win this game by 10 points.
Really?
I got, I'm going to have to agree with Penguin, man. I think Texas Tech is,
Really?
The roster is just better. I mean,
You guys are, all right.
Utah's roster is not very good. I think Marion's probably a little bit better of a player, but the Tech D-line is going to be in the backfield before Cat can lick his ass. So, I got Texas Tech. Close game. Very close game.
There we go. A little mixed.
In his third location. Has anyone else noticed, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now he's outside.
It is absolutely incredible, this man.
Oh, yeah. He has traveled all across the United States on game day.
Holy shit.
He's like Kirk Herbstreit.
He's our first response in the field.
He literally, when he logged in with that of a girls volleyball match, was in his office, then driving, then ordered a McDouble, and now he is just sitting, and it is beautiful out there, Smitty.
Kirk Herbstreit. Instead of flying to these games,
Smitty is 10 times the man Kirk Herbstreit could ever be.
I gotta go back in the gym. I just want to tell y'all, thank y'all for having me. Hopefully next week I won't be on a wild fucking adventure, but y'all have a good day.
Yeah, keep taking us with you.
You too, Smitty.
See you.
God, Roll Tide.
I'll be Pat. I'm going to message you about my...
Yeah, honestly, send me film from your scrimmage.
I will. All right,
later.
There we have it. I'm going to jump right into this Texas Tech matchup. Funny, not a funny story. It's just a story, I guess. Back in 2006, right after college, I had went down to help with Hurricane Katrina and Rita in college. And a few of my friends and I flew to Texas Tech to Lubbock, mainly because I was a giant football fanatic. And I had watched some clinics on Mike Leach. And obviously, he was coaching in Texas Tech at the time. And who didn't love a Bobby Knight? And so we fly down there in the fall, and we go to a Baylor football game. It was on my birthday, November 4th. And so I got to watch Mike Leach, and we were fortunate they won. But we drove by Bobby Knight's house just so my friends were showing me where he lived, and he happened to be outside, which we thought was the funniest thing ever. But as kids, we were terrified to stop and talk to him because we thought maybe he would kick our ass. And so it's a pretty funny story. It's the only time I've ever been to Lubbock, Texas. And Pat talked about it being a football town, Texas being a football town. And that was my first ever experience with football in the South, was in Lubbock. And be it as small as Texas Tech was, it was a lot of fun and really crazy. We didn't really care who won the game, as we weren't really fans of either team, but it was a butt whooping. Texas Tech won like 50-20 or something like that. But it doesn't change my pick. I'm big on Utah this year, the Big 12. I really wanted to take Wilds and Texas Tech. But man, I think Utah's front is on defense is gonna, defense is tough to play. And so I think that that'll give the biggest difference there.
We'll find out in about an hour. That's the best part.
Yeah. Big game kicking off in about an hour. I'll be out shopping with my family, doing some back to school shopping. I know I didn't really, someone mentioned in the chat, just asking me what I've been up to, since game day's been out. Obviously everybody knows I have like 70,000 kids. And so with game day being out, I've been able to capitalize on doing some family stuff. We took a trip to the Bahamas, my family and my sisters and grandparents and stuff. We were there for about 2 weeks. And so it was a lot of fun, over 30 of us. And so we just got back from that a couple weeks ago. And I put on a big
move. Go get a lobster?
I tried. So I ate lobster. I definitely ate lobster. But the lobster season over there doesn't open up till Friday. And we left Saturday morning, but it was crazy. I got some pictures and videos I'll have to share. We went on a big excursion on Wednesday. That's the Wednesday before the lobster season opens up down there in the Bahamas. And there's lobster boats everywhere out there ready to go out. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with the lobster fishing, is that it's all, they all dive to fish. They dive and spear the lobsters and catch them in nets. They don't use giant fishing boats, but they take old shrimp boats because they have the big booms. And then they put out a bunch of little canoes, basically, and these guys dive down 10 to 20 feet, and they capture the lobsters. And then in Bahamas, the Bahama lobster is different than the Maine lobster. It's not red. It's kind of a like an off-color orange, and they taste a little bit different. But it's the biggest, besides tourism, that's the biggest, I don't know what word I'm looking for, the biggest, that's what they do down there, right? That they the lobster market down there in Spanish Wells and stuff. They have a big lobster plant and everything. But we caught a 76-pound tuna on our fishing excursion. The boat did.
Nice.
If anybody's ever been
to Did you get to eat it?
We did. We sliced it up right on the dock, and then we ate it, and then they sliced it up into steaks, and we took it home and pan-seared it really quick. And then it was obviously the best-tasting tuna and sushi that I've ever had in my life.
The prepped tuna one time, and it's incredible.
Yeah, it was the largest fish that was ever caught on the on their excursion. They've never caught a tuna that big. They've caught other fish that big, but not a tuna. And it took about 80 minutes to reel in, and everyone pretty much reels it in, right? Because it's not something that just one guy does. And it was we had a lot of fun. The weather was really nice. We didn't deal with any bad storms or anything like that. And so, I'm excited for the NDL to be back, though. Excited for football. Obviously, me and Pat talked about that earlier. Football season, one of the greatest times of the year is the fall, man.
It is. It's like an American tradition, right? That's why. And by the way, going to be giving histories of schools for like 3 or 4 matchups going forward. But I absolutely cannot wait to do my first fall football in Charlotte. Everyone rants and raves about how cool it is around here during football season, which is cool to me because when you live where I live, like there's just so much to do. No offense to people out here that like you don't get a lot of football like fans as much as out here. Like everyone likes football out here. You know, like you can walk in LA and all that stuff and you probably 50-50 you might have a football fan, period, that watches it. So I'm super excited to be out, you know, on the East Coast for a football season, and I'm glad game day is back.
Hey, and also, in literally one week, the official college football season will kick off, and we'll be able to watch real games with Iowa State taking on Kansas State and Dublin. Can't wait.
Man, exciting. Hey, don't forget to check out the Mariners playing on Little League Classic on Sunday night. If anybody doesn't know the Field of Dreams game, I'm excited because the Mariners get some big spotlight baseball, and that's my favorite.
Sure, catcher went to school at a pretty cool university too.
Yeah, big FSU guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy you guys haven't won an Natty.
I know. I'm hoping.
You would think they would even just roll into a game, and at this point, they've been so many times.
No one's been more and not won it.
You know what's funny? I thought you were wearing an FSU hat the whole time, and you're wearing No, it's so cool. I love. And by the way, that's one other thing I got to point out about this league that's so cool. Next week, I guess, starts one of the coolest times of the year when you start recognizing guys on TV who are on your NDL team. Hey, a defensive tackle is going to make a tackle for a loss in a game, and you're going to be like, dude, I know who that guy is because he's on your NDL team.
Yeah.
That's why I love the league. I'll know a linebacker on only the NDL teams that I play. Other than that, you know, you'll be like, oh, I think that guy looks pretty good, but you'll like know the whole roster for the Baylor Bears, the Iowa State Cyclones, Wazoo.
I get on there. I follow their social media.
Yeah.
If they got a Facebook page, I check it out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, gentlemen, it's been great. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us. One of the most watched game day shows of all time. Kicking off, we'll get some of the audio and video stuff situated next week. We really appreciate it. Tune in next week for Game Day Block 3, Season 33 with the NDL. I'm Lick. You're here with Penguin and Pat.
Yeah. And hey, everyone, tune into the game of the week. It starts in 30 minutes. Give it just all the views.
I love it.
Are we off camera or audio?
Not yet.
Oh, sorry. The other connection.